Hey, what's going on, guys? Just about to clean up here with another commentary. I don't even know what game is playing in the background, to be honest with you. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I am very tired. Basically, I'm here to tell you guys about my thoughts on E3 and everybody jumping off the ledge of Xbox One. I'm going to explain the DRM situation from what I've read and from what I've retained from E3. I'm not going to claim that I am a genius, but I am educated from a business aspect. I know a lot about sales. I know a lot about building a team. I studied organizational leadership and supervision with new technology management and innovation. So essentially, if you have a business, for lack of better terms, I could run it. That's not me being cocky. I know what I can do. Basically, a Microsoft engineer gave up some info, got a lot of stuff off his chest, and he actually did it in a better way of explaining than the executives at Microsoft. And what it boils down to is Xbox One is probably going to serve like. Probably going to provide some sort of Steam service or a service like Steam. How are they going to do this is kind of not, it's really basic. Let's talk about anti-piracy, okay? So it starts at anti-piracy. That's why they're doing the 24-hour check-in, which the engineer stated that that is probably going to change. because everybody hates it. It doesn't really bother me because I play every day. But I can see how it would turn some people off. But basically the PC, the Steam model has piracy issues. Because no one can police that entire internet. Like it is a juggernaut. Like it's too large, okay? However, with like around like 45 to 50,000, 50, I'm sorry, thousand, wow, like 50 million Xbox users online, it's controllable because it's smaller, it's easier. PC has tried to police by doing some sort of access code and such. It doesn't work. And what it boils down to is people find a way to pirate. They want things at the cheapest price. And the cheapest price is free, so that's why people pirate. Also with PC, there's no like regulation of content, so viruses, etc., adult pleasures, if you will. With the Xbox not being as large, it has great maintenance upkeep, so you don't have to really worry about a virus or anything like that. And you pay for it through membership. So basically, by providing this good service or decent service in Microsoft case, it's had customer retention, and customer retention is just people constantly coming back. You'll notice people have like five by their name, which is 5 years of Xbox Live membership through that gamer tag. But this is how memberships grow, essentially, through customer retention. Steam nailed it through the P3. Wow. Through the PC, like I said, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Microsoft Xbox Live nailed it. The PSN network is there. It does not have the service fee model like the other two mentioned. But here's the thing: the retention for the PSN is not a problem. Okay, that's the thing. They have really great users. The problem lies in the fact that the PSN is going to start charging for service. And before everybody gets all up in a tizzy, just saying, "Oh, Xbox fanboy, you just talk down on PSN." I own a PS3. PSN network is great. I prefer PlayStation Plus in a in certain aspects than Xbox Live, but it is missing a lot of things like voice functionality and other things like that. Anyway, regardless, so it's going to start charging for a service. The reason why they're going to start charging is probably for a better network. To be honest with you, I mean, for better protection of its users, which is great. That's smart. But also, they're going to start adding more functionality to the PlayStation. And what they have to do is they have to find a way to pay for that room. They have to pay for the room that it takes to do the operations that they want to do. They need the room. So what they're doing is they're dedicating 1 gigabyte of space to run their operating system. Right now, Microsoft is using about 3 gigabytes because of the check-ins, the multifunctionality, both like on visual and voice. And Microsoft is getting apps to support those sort of things. One app that I'm very excited about is Twitch. If you don't know about Twitch, what rock are you underneath? Basically, you're going to be able to stream your game content, which is huge. For professional gamers, for casual gamers, for big YouTubers, anybody on YouTube, what are they streaming on? They're streaming on Twitch. PlayStation's going to have the Ustream app, which I don't know anybody that uses that. I've never even really heard of it. All I know is it's not Twitch, so I don't watch it. Microsoft, also from the looks of it, they're focused on gaming. The social network sharing, the smart apps, the YouTube, Twitch, Skype, ESPN, all of these things, the TV, 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 you saw it. With all these features, they're also adding like a Steam type service, like digital downloads on day one content, DLC, and just digital downloads on games in general. But the thing is, I also like to buy like the hard disk versions of certain games, like Titanfall, which, oh my god, I'm so excited for that game. Like a Halo, not necessarily Destiny, because I really was not that impressed by it. It visually looked decent, but whatever. Bungie's out there. but if you look at it now, they're implementing that Steam-type model on the 360 to this day. I just bought Alan Wake for $5. You know, it's a great game. It is a really fun game. The same with Max Payne 3. I bought that for $5 as well. And it's like, dude, these deals are too good to pass up. And they have free games, 2 free games until November. These are all Steam-type things. They're also moving away from like the Microsoft points, which is a godsend, and they're moving to actual currency, which is another Steam sort of play. They're also having a lot of free-to-play titles like World of Tanks, other things like that. To me, as a business person, because that's who I am at the heart, these moves are pretty clear. To the common man, it seems like a gimmick. It really does. It seems like, oh, they're just trying to milk the cow for all it's worth until the Xbox One comes out, and then they're just going to be spying on you. Conspiracy theorists. Microsoft, basically what it boils down to, it's not a gimmick. Microsoft wants like a piece of every transaction on its own console, which makes sense. They want to make money. It actually wants to cut out like the middleman, or at least like phase him out in a way. And the middleman being like a GameStop or like your local trade-in place that has screwed you out of money for so long. And that's just me. Like, how many times have you gone to like a GameStop and been like, you traded in games, and at the end of it, you feel so disgusted because it's like, I literally just got $9 for a game I paid for like 3 weeks ago, $60. Awesome. And then they sell for 40. That's why they make $100 million profit. Anyway, so they're trying to phase them out. And what they're trying to do when they try to phase out like a GameStop, what they're doing is they're making the market more directly involved with the consumer. They're making a direct line between you and them. And it's a win for gamers. And nobody's talking about this. It's a win for gamers because it'll actually drive the games to cost less because they're not making any money off of used games. So it's going to cost the software. It lowers the software cost. It drives it down, okay? And in turn, at the same time, it gives developers more money to work with. And, you know, when you give the developers more money to work with, it's bigger profits. And bigger profits means more control of, like, the market force. So what Microsoft is doing, they're following the digital model. And what this is instead of being, like, late to the game, they're doing, like, a forward-thinking type of thing. It's like a supply and demand. And I think, like, the demand, the demand and the future is all going to be digital. Like I said, you're going to always want the hard copies of like the Halos or like the Titanfalls and other things like that. And I understand that. And Microsoft understands that. But for the common person who's just a casual gamer, they're going to want digital downloads. And you can say, Brandon, well, how do you know all this? Well, it's pretty easy. It's not, you don't think about right now. It's forward thinking. And the biggest aspect of this is look at what Apple did with iTunes and the iPod. They dominate the market right now. A market that was decimated by piracy. It still kind of is to this day. They saw people, they didn't really want to go out to like the Best Buys or, you know, the FYEs and the Walmarts to buy a CD. Even more so, people didn't even really want to buy whole CDs. So iTunes and iPad and iPod were born, essentially. And basically when that happened, my stock went from $43 to $470. So thank you. This is forward thinking. Also, another thing they touched on, sharing a game with a friend is still possible. Little known fact, you just have to verify the license through a sign-in. So basically, you go over to Timmy's house and you say, hey, let's play Xbox. And you just sign in through your email or something like that, and you just play the game because it's all on a cloud service. But at the same token, if you want to give him the game, to transfer this ownership, you're going to incur a cost. And, you know, is he going to have to buy the game? Probably. Will it be at a cheaper price? Probably, because it's probably going to be Steam. but here's the thing. For the PS4 people that are like, oh, I gotcha, bitch. What happens is, do you really not think these developers, after they see this Microsoft model, okay, that is making them money, do you really think they're not going to charge a similar like online pass fee like EA did with Battlefield from like buying a used game? Of course they are. So while, you know, everybody's chuckling about this PS4 thing, like, oh, how do you trade games on the PS4? And then the little Asian guy passes his game on to the other guy, you know, he's making Timmy basically pay for that online pass. And you're like, well, that's only $5 to $10. You still have the game. Well, here's the thing. Developers do not want to make games for a system that does not make them money. Okay, if I was a developer, I'm pissed in a way because he didn't have to pay anything at all to borrow that game. I made, as a developer, $0 on that transaction. Thanks for playing and enjoying my game that I developed, but from a business standpoint, it makes no sense. Developers want to develop for someone who will make them money, which is why you're probably still going to see the DLC drops, the timed out exclusives, other things like that. Titanfall. The biggest thing of this, Titanfall. It's Xbox exclusive. Who saw that coming? Anybody? Nope, not me. I don't have my hand raised. So you're probably still going to see DLC drops and timed exclusives. Thanks. And it's funny to see everybody riding this hype train of like, oh my god, Microsoft is trying to fuck people. No, they're trying to make money. And basically, it's very simple, okay? Microsoft made a huge cloud service, and it's free. To the common man, you know what this means? They're bringing Steam to the Xbox, so enjoy it. You're going to get games at a pretty decent discount, maybe not day one. I get day one, it's probably still going to cost $60, but you know, a month or 3 months from now, you know, it could cost like $40. It could cost $25. The beauty of Steam is they have daily deals, they have weekend deals, they have monthly deals, you know, they have hourly deals where if you buy between 12 and 2, you're going to get a deep discount. So it's going to cause people to buy more. Well, anyway, that's just my thoughts, man. I mean, I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, you know, call me an Xbox fanboy, that's fine. I'm going to own both consoles, so. And if you don't, you're cheating yourself out of gaming, so. Enjoy.